Newsman, we all love to buy a cup of coffee.
Yeah, I've actually, I guess over the last few years, transitioned from a go out and have beers with my mates to probably a bit more have a coffee.
You've done the switch.
In the cafe.
You've done the switch.
Yeah, I'm not quite there, but yeah.
Do you have 8 coffees and then wake up the next morning regretting it all?
No, it's a different atmosphere, that's for sure.
Now, a lot of people love a cup of coffee, but there's some there's a story out this week which we would all do well to pay attention to, because a barista named Brian, I assume he's using a pseudonym.
Brian the barista.
Brian the barista. He has published a list of the things that customers do that baristas hate the most.
Hmm.
So, yeah. So,
I thought it might be the other way, but obviously baristas get annoyed. They're...
Oh, you think the customers are the ones who...
I reckon I've got a few gripes, but we can get to that later.
Love to hear those. But Brian, for the moment, if you are out buying a cup of coffee, these are the things to make sure you never do.
Because you want the barista on your side because you want a nice coffee and perhaps a nice little chocolate decoration on top.
Yes. And you, last thing you want is your barista to hock a loogie into your coffee before he serves it up. He or she serves it up. Okay, number one thing not to do with your coffee.
Number one, yes.
Well, number one thing not to do if you don't want to irritate your barista. And it seems fairly obvious, but don't dump your coffee in the bin.
In what circumstances would you do that?
Well,
can you please explain?
It sounds self-explanatory. You know, the barista's going to be offended if you collect your coffee and then dump it straight in the bin. But apparently some people will actually empty out some coffee directly out of the cup into the bin to, like, fit sugar or milk or something in there. I don't know.
Okay, so it's too full.
It's too full,
they
want
to tip out a little bit, put a bit of cool milk or something.
Yeah,
a bit of sugar or something.
Who's doing this? I don't know.
And so the barista is offended that they've put in 2 to 3 minutes of their life and you've just gone, nah, I only want 80% of that.
According to Brian, just say, hey, look, I need some extra space in the cup. And the barista will say, no problem. So don't do that. I'll confess straight up as well, one of these things I'm a massive culprit of. But anyway, this is not one of them.
Okay.
Do not do this if you want to keep the barista on your good side, and that is ordering while you're on your phone.
Yeah, that's widespread though, isn't it?
Well, yeah.
No one wants to be...
It's not just baristas, is it? That's just rude to be doing that wherever you are.
So it's like, hi, Tim. Yeah, I was at the beach the other day. Oh, I have a cappuccino.
Yeah.
And, nice. Yeah.
Yeah, there. And then, meanwhile, you're holding everyone up behind you. You're not on your game. You're taking longer than it should. Anyone who's doing that, I actually reckon you could just ban them from your store. Don't serve people that are on their phone. Maybe that's harsh.
You want that personal exchange just for 20 seconds, don't you? Get the order in. Exchange of money.
Yeah.
Then you can do your own thing.
Exactly. It's common courtesy. Where's that gone? What happened to common courtesy?
Gone.
Okay. This one I'm very guilty of. And this is what Brian says. A lot of people don't specify what size they want. You know, you just walk up, I'll have a flat white, please. Guilty. 100% guilty.
Are you buying one to sit down or are you buying a takeaway?
Both, either or.
See, I reckon you can be excused if you're in the store because you sort of picture getting a cup of coffee.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what the psychology is, but I'll often walk up and say, I'll just order the coffee and, you know, the universe will make sure I get the correct size that I need because I'll often, I guess, I'm feeling like I'd really like a big one. I'd really like the biggest one, but I feel bad about ordering the biggest one because, you know.
So this is a conscious thing that you're doing. You go in with an open mind, see what the universe dishes back at you. That's fantastic.
And I just think, well, you know, it's fate. Whatever size I'm meant to get, I will get, and I will leave it up to whoever controls the world.
I love that. I actually have trouble sometimes with the sizes. I've been to a certain donut store very close to my house, and I think it's called a Grande.
Yeah.
And you're like, so my partner's very au fait with the sizes.
Mm-hmm.
And I just see the medium and I'm like, oh, no, it's... And they go, oh, you mean a grande?
Yeah.
Like, no, and then I have to point to the cup.
Because then you've got the whole pronunciation dilemma, like, am I pronouncing this right? But Brian actually addresses that. He says, even if you don't know the correct lingo for the sizes, simply asking for a large will get the point across. So you're doing the right thing. Like, I'll have a medium, and, you know, like, what kind of stickler barista is going to say, oh, you mean a grande? Just, you know. But, you know, so I've learned. I've got a takeaway here. I'm going to make sure I...
Stick with who you are, Tim.
All right.
I actually like that you let life determine what coffee size.
It's pretty passive, isn't it?
Does it work?
Oh, well, you know, I get what I get.
And sometimes they don't go, oh, which one he wants, and out comes the big one?
Yeah, they'll just bring out whatever. Or sometimes I'll say, oh, did you want the large or small? And then if I'm forced to make a call, well, then I'll just, you know, go with whatever
small
it takes me.
Save my 80 cents.
Yeah. All right, well, you've convinced me to stick strong to that, so sorry, Brian.
But it annoys Brian.
I'm caring less and less about what Brian thinks as we go through these. Here's the last one. This really pees Brian off. He has revealed that many people come back to him after they've received their coffee and say things like, hey, I wanted that iced, or I didn't want cream on that. So he's saying that, you know, if you want a customized coffee, just let the barista know up front. Seems straightforward, but apparently plenty of people are belatedly going back after having received the coffee and saying, you know, they actually wanted this or that. Here's Brian's point. We're baristas, not psychics.
That's probably Brian's strongest point. I can't imagine people doing that, though.
You can't argue with that. Maybe it's, you know, are they trying that? Well, if I complain after the fact, I've had my coffee, maybe I'll get a free one, bonus on top, maybe.
Maybe. Sometimes, though, it's not the barista serving you, and maybe it's lost in translation. I often feel like I've placed an order and they've got it slightly wrong, and it's because,
you're right. How many times you say, now, just double-checking that you correct, if you realise that I've asked for curdled goat's cheese milk instead of whatever, and they go, absolutely. No, I'm just double-checking. Absolutely. We do this all the time. They bring it out, and it's wrong.
Yeah, well, Brian, I think, is a bit of a grump. But he's got some good points. Now, can I get a few things off my chest?
Oh, unload.
Well, it was similar to the mobile phone issue. I find people behind a counter, and it doesn't have to be baristas, talking amongst themselves while serving you. So you are the sort of distraction or the afterthought. So they're having a chat.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, we're cool at work. We're getting on behind the counter. And then they give me like 5 seconds and sort of can almost be still talking to the other person while they're taking my money.
Oh, and you can just feel it. You can just feel the vibe coming off. You know, they're talking about the weekend and you walk up and you just know they're thinking, just get out of here. Like, honestly, why are you interrupting us? And you know what? And the upshot of that is, hello, internet shopping. That's why, you know, that's why retail is, well, you know, I'm not going to write off a whole industry, but, you know, the rise of internet shopping, you don't get that. You don't get that awkward human interaction stuff, you know. You've got the internet's full and complete attention whenever you go shopping online.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's a complaint, and obviously you feel it as well. It's a bit probably more widespread than the baristas, but one that Brian can never think about himself.
Yeah, think about that, Brian.
And finally, I'm not sure if it's a... I don't know if it annoys me, but if, you know, when they yell out people's names and, yeah, I just... It all just...
Oh, you mean when they're all, like, jokey?
Yeah, but just sort of yelling out... No, I mean, like, Tim, your coffee's ready.
Oh, you don't like them using your name?
I don't need to be familiar with them.
What should they do instead?
Order one.
You just want to go back to the number system.
Oh, I don't know. Nah, that's fine. That's fine. Names are good.
Marcus, is there any problem social media cannot solve? That's what I ask you.
I'm guessing, in your opinion, no. It can solve everything.
Well, it will certainly try and solve everything. That's what we learned. As we speak today, big trouble at Channel 10.
Yeah, that's pretty sad news. Obviously, local newsroom is probably the main extent of Adelaide content for 10, but yeah, it's a station that we all know and love, I think, but just struggling financially.
Yeah, so they've been placed into voluntary administration. I guess that means they're broke. So what happens from here? Yet to see, but it's not good news.
It sounds like administrators think, yeah, it'll be on air because they'll be trying to flog it to a buyer. But basically, yeah, they'll need someone to prop it up and probably cut some fat from the whole network and start again. Reset, press the reset button.
Yeah. So where social media comes into this is as the news of this unfolds, a hashtag springs up, which is all you need these days to solve any problem. Just get the right hashtag. And this one was hashtag save 10.
Okay.
So the idea here is, looking back at all the great TV shows that Channel 10 has aired over the years, and when you look at it, there's quite a few, if they would just bring back a couple of these golden oldies from yesteryear, that will hashtag save 10.
So bring them back, probably not much of a cost for them, and they'll rate their socks off.
It's foolproof. So let's have a look at this. Here's some suggestions of the great shows they've had that they should bring back. And it's a stellar lineup, I'm going to say. Off the top, Baywatch.
Baywatch.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm trying to think of how old I was when Baywatch was on Channel 10, but these days I think, oh, it was a bit sort of had that sort of sexy component. But mm-hmm. I think at the time I was really into the storylines and the content and the drama of saving people. And
I remember this show had a lot of buzz in the schoolyard when I was, I reckon I was really young, and I just started to hear whispers, you know, kids were watching this show called Baywatch. And you're right, at that point it was like an action show, you know, like guys riding around on jet skis, and it was like really dangerous.
And those four-wheel drive, what are those things called? Quad bikes?
Yeah, on the sand.
Cruising around, yeah.
I think pretty quickly, though, even if that's how it started, it pretty quickly became, you know, what you think of with Baywatch is the red swimsuit. Surely that is the iconic image. And really, end of the day, that red swimsuit on Pamela Anderson, that is really Baywatch, I guess.
Yes, it was. And the flotation device, I was always fascinated by that. That's a different... Not talking about Pamela Anderson
stuff.
Oh, story.
Right, yeah. No. The actual... Yeah, of course. All right. Bring that back. That'll go a long way. Now, they still have this, but let's just look at the quality broadcasting content Channel 10 have run over the years. The Simpsons Channel 10 powerhouse, you know. Where would we be without Channel 10? And, you know, they've been with The Simpsons from day one. Started running it in Australia in 1991.
Well, they have been... Part of this campaign, if this actually came true, would be to flog old shows. Well, they have been with The Simpsons. This is one show where they've said, this is a winner. Let's keep going for how many years is that?
It's 78. Not quite. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe they actually have been flogging old shows too much. Maybe that's why they're in this strife. Maybe this is all completely wrong idea. But anyway, how's this for a great Channel 10 show? Seinfeld.
Seinfeld. I still enjoy episodes. Bit dated, some of the, you know, things like answering machines and ringing people from payphones.
Yeah. Nothing seems as dated from that show, though, as Jerry's white sneakers with tight blue jeans. Although, actually, no, that's probably cool again now. I wouldn't know, but it looks funny. But yeah,
nah, definitely, that would be a winner. I still get a laugh out of that show.
Let's look at some Australian programming. And, you know, they're still flogging this one. But Neighbours, giant show, you know, supposedly massive in the UK. But think of, you know, I'm going to leave out a heap here, but the stars whose careers were launched by Neighbours on Channel 10, Kylie Minogue, Margot Robbie, Guy Pearce,
tick,
Delta
tick,
Goodrem,
tick.
Hemsworth Brothers. You know, that's just a snippet. That has been a broadcasting powerhouse.
Yeah, I know some family members, I won't mention that, they still watch it quite regularly. It's probably,
it's not even on 10 anymore. They bumped it to 11.
Yeah, well, I don't know why they did that, but yeah, I reckon...
Bring it back to the proper Channel 10.
Yeah, some real promos. I don't think I've seen an ad for Neighbours in a long time because it's on the different channels, I guess.
Well, yeah, so they need to beef up the visibility of Neighbours. That's one thing they should look at. This old show was huge for me. I love this, and when I think about it, It was kind of like podcasts on TV. It was just some people sitting around shooting the breeze. It was called The Panel, and I loved it.
It's still going, isn't it?
Nah.
Isn't it?
Nah, I reckon that they canned that decades ago.
The Panel. I will explain who was on it.
You know, Rob Sitch, Tom Gleisner, Santo Chilara.
I'm thinking of The Project, but probably before its time, yeah.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, the... the godfather of the project was the panel. You know, people just sitting around talking, having a laugh about what was, you know, happening in the news.
Yeah, it sounds like it was the, yeah,
the precursor to podcasts. Also, similar time frame, we'll all most people remember Rove. It was a big show in its day.
Yeah. Rove, I haven't seen him in many, many years, but...
Well, he went to the US.
Had all the big guests that came to Australia.
It was the show to be on. And look, I remember Peter Hellyer was prominent on that
show. Carrie Bickmore, she read the news updates or something on that.
Yeah, you know.
Had Elmo on it. I remember he interviewed him.
Interviewed Elmo.
But yeah, he had all the stars, and it was sort of a, I think it was a Sunday night, sort of a fairly family-friendly time.
Yeah.
I like it.
Now, there's some more shows. I'm not familiar with all of these. You might have something to share, but this one was a major part of my childhood. It's a knockout.
Oh. The Adelaide Hills, that was the green team from SA. I remember that much. How's that?
Really?
And they were a dominant side. Yeah, that was a fantastic show.
Yeah.
But is it one of those shows that you would look back now and think, oh, that's a bit amateur hour? Or
didn't I think, I have this hunch they did try and bring it back.
Yeah.
Like a reboot. Had a great theme song as well. And once you got the theme song nailed, you're halfway there with a TV show.
And who doesn't like watching people in rubbery suits running around on a turntable and watching them slip and slide in water and trying
What's that show that, you know, in modern times where it's an obstacle course and you run around?
Oh, yes. Fallout, no. What's it called?
Something splash.
Wipeout.
Wipeout? I feel like, you know, that was...
Did Tan do Gladiator as well? I don't know if that's... I've just gone off the script there, but...
I'd say 7 if I had to bet.
Okay, move on.
What an era of TV that was, though. Mully Grubs?
Mully Grubs, the only thing, obviously, I was a lot too old for that children's show, but it had the superimposed face where you could just see the eyes and mouth.
Hang on, are you saying you were too old to enjoy Mully Grubs?
Well... Yes, I am. Yeah. But yeah, that was the main.
I was
main
watching state. It, but I probably shouldn't have been.
Oh well.
Well, no, the lips. That exactly what you're talking about is all that anyone remembers from there. And a device, they probably stole it from somewhere. But I remember Conan O'Brien was using it as well. Oh. So maybe he was watching Mully Grubs and stole the idea. I like this factoid that I never knew about how good Channel 10 has been over the years. Sport broadcasting royalty, Bruce McAvaney, actually got his start on Channel 10.
Well, there you go.
So a big part of the hashtag Save 10 campaign is, well...
Get him back.
And actually, it's more, you should have never let him go. That's where your problems probably started. Bert Newton, major Channel 10 personality at different times. If they could bring back all these old stars, well, then they would just, you know, take the... national TV audience, you know, they'd have us all by the scruff of the neck.
I can't believe anyone hasn't thought of it. It would be a cheap temporary option that if things go pear-shaped in the next couple of months, just bring back all the shows, replay them back to back to back. It's a bit like what they do on pay TV in Foxtel. You pay money and you get, you know, back to back Hogan's Heroes, I Dream of Jeannie, and they slug you, so why can't it work for Channel 10?
Well, they should. They need to try something. Any Channel 10 favourites you remember?
Well, most recently, the Big Bash Cricket has become staple for me during the summer because it's on every single night at that beautiful time of sort of 7 to 10. And
Night after night, you just know, there's going to be a match on
that
tonight.
Was huge. I think it's surpassed Channel 9's popularity for cricket coverage, just for the light-hearted banter between the commentators and things like that.
Yeah, I'm a fan.
I'm pretty sure MASH is a long stay for Channel 10. I could be wrong. That might have swapped channels over the years.
No,
but
I reckon you're right. I reckon MASH was always Channel 10, and great show.
Great show. It's one I didn't quite understand as a child, understandably. But it was on sort of 5 o'clock, 6.
Yeah, it was right in that time of, you know, you got home from school. It's just before dinner. You're going to watch what's on. You know, it's either some boring news stuff or MASH, which when you think about it, a comedy set in a war zone, like, who would have thought that would work? But, you know, and I guess maybe that's why it does, because it's a bit funny and sad.
Yeah, as a kid, you know what put me off MASH was the starting theme. It didn't match the show at all. Like it was sort
it's
of like
very
a serious.
Dreary.
Yeah, and like a you're going, oh, we're going into a serious war show here. But...
Speaking of that era, you know the show Happy Days.
Yeah.
When do you think that was made?
I would say early '70s.
Yeah, we'd have to fact check this, but I remember someone saying their mind was blown when they realised that Happy Days
was
made during the '80s.
In the '80s, okay.
maybe it was.
Yeah,
like
no,
'70s.
No, you could be right. '80s, yeah.
But for those people who came along a little bit after the fact, you kind of feel like, oh, this is a you know a historical document from the era. No, it wasn't. Okay, so I don't know. We've probably pretty much played out Channel 10's hits over the years. In recent years, MasterChef's been their big one. And to be honest, I could leave it.
And Big Brother, I think.
Big Brother, yeah.
That was big for a couple of years.
Here's one of your favourites, The Bachelor. And The Bachelorette.
Now, come on, Tim. Didn't you admit to me maybe last year that you and your lovely wife were sort of hooked on Bachelor?
We'll definitely be cutting this out. I'm not sure if it was that one.
It was a different show.
It could have been that. Oh, look, I'm not going to go to war over that one. It probably is true. What about that show called Beauty and the Geek? Is that Channel 10?
Yeah, I was hooked to that one.
Yeah, the geeks come in on Segway.
And until it became very apparent that they weren't really geeks.
Yeah.
There's probably a couple of legit geeks and then a few good-looking dudes with...
They were male models who'd just grown a beard before the show started.
Yeah, put on a secondhand jacket, suit, tie, and away they went.
And that
glasses with broken frames.
And when they started just, blatantly fiddling with that show and, really stained the purity of the Beauty and the Geek format, that's when Channel 10 truly lost its way. Surprising news story this week, Marcus, when a speech given by our very own Prime Minister... PM Turnbull was leaked to the media, a speech that was never meant to be heard by the wider public.
It was a winter ball, wasn't it? A private event in Canberra that was supposed to be behind closed doors, so all in good fun.
It's the insiders. It's when all the Canberra insiders get together and just have a bit of a do and I think raise some money for something worthwhile, but the real big feature of the thing is I think usually the leaders, the party leaders get up and give a speech, which is totally different to what they would normally do in public. It's usually, just a big big rip of themselves and everyone else, kind of sarcastic sort of stuff. And the idea is that no one really reports on what's happening because then whoever's speaking feels free to, be a bit looser. But this one got out.
And I guess if you've got to mock anyone in the world... Yeah, who's number one? Yeah, Big Malk decided to have a crack at Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
No surprises there. And
yep.
I guess a few key parts of it, he mentioned sort of mocking his mannerisms and also his possible connection with a Russian link to the mm-hmm. election results and things yep. like that. Anything else that really stood out?
Yeah, there was the Russian quip. But also, it was quite an impression, wasn't it? Like, he didn't go into a full-blown impression mode, but he was doing sort of the voice and, that famous way Trump speaks where he repeats himself and puts the best possible shine on everything. And actually just flat out tells the opposite of the truth. In this case, that is, Turnbull was saying that they were both winning in the polls, which I guess is actually the opposite. They're both doing badly in the polls. So a bit of fun. Apparently, everyone that was in the room thought it was hilarious. But once it spread outside the room, I don't think everyone else thought it was as funny. I don't know. Is it a big deal?
Well, I did like the comment today from the Prime Minister. He basically said everyone criticises us for not having a personality, going by the script too much. And then when we do, you just take it out of context and make it a story when it's not. Mm. So in some ways, when I initially heard about this come out, when this initially came out, I thought you probably don't want to be poking Donald Trump, like, and teasing Donald Trump. I know he deserves to be teased, but he, unlike any other political leader, he seems to make decisions on his own and irrationally, mm-hmm. and that's what worries me, that if he had some gripes with that, with Australia, they're still there and even more now.
Yeah, holds a grudge, you get the feeling, Donald Trump. You get that sense that he hangs on to stuff. But I think nice move by Malcolm, I personally think. And I think most people, I think this has played pretty well with most people in Australia, because when you look at it, Trump has actually snubbed Turnbull, given Turnbull a bit of a rough time. Mm. There was a famous phone call where Trump supposedly, you know, ripped into Malcolm Turnbull over the phone, and then Turnbull went over to visit Trump and Trump kept him waiting for ages. And all along, Turnbull's just smiled politely and said all the right things in public. But I feel like this was his chance, under the guise of, you know, it's just a bit of a jokey, you know, insider's night. His chance to just have a bit of a smack back at the Donald, and kind of get some laughs at his expense. And there's nothing Trump can really do, because it is this sort of, you know, comical night, and they have the equivalent thing in the US. So Trump understands how these things work, and all he's really been able to say is, well, look, yeah, we know it was meant in a lighthearted way, and we'll take that. You'd think, though, behind closed doors, he'd be seething. He's not the sort to have a laugh at himself, you wouldn't think.
It was Laurie Oakes, wasn't it, who leaked this audio?
It was, video? Yeah, the big man of Australian political journalism.
To me, I think, and he said it was in the best, you know, he thought it was of interest, public interest, for that to be out. I didn't really think it was.
Well, he also said that he doesn't go to the midwinter ball, so maybe there was a little bit of a jealousy factor here. You know, he feels like he's maybe on the outer now, and this was his way to get back into the centre of attention. But public interest, I think it's just hilarious that it came out, and only to Malcolm's advantage, I'd think.
To me, journalists, I guess it doesn't really matter in terms of these sort of issues. But if you have an agreement that everything is just undercover, and you just keep it to yourself, I just felt like that was just stirring up trouble when it didn't need to be.
Probably a more honest angle to go with would have been, hey, I'm going to broadcast this because it's funny.
Yeah.
You know, why not just say that? Don't pretend like it's in anyone, you know, it's for the good of the country. It's not really that big a deal. Just say, yeah, thought you might get a laugh out of this. Check it out.
And maybe, as you said, the PM looks more of a bloke, more of an Aussie bloke that you could sit up to next to in the bar and have a beer with, because he said, yeah, I'm taking fun of him, I'm taking fun out of myself, it's all good time.
Like when Kevin Rudd got busted for being booted out of a strip club in New York. One, he was at a strip club, which is, you know, probably a no-no, and then two, he was behaving so appallingly, they had to kick him out, and his popularity went up afterwards.
Well, there you go, fair shake of the sauce bottle.